Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, a new study has found that the GAA is worth nearly 3 billion euro to Irish society. Now, the study, which was commissioned by the GAA and the LGFA and the Camogie Association, was independently conducted by the Sheffield Hallam Sports Industry Research Group. And they looked at the economic and social value of the GAA on the island of Ireland. And to discuss the findings, I'm joined by the lead researcher of the report, Professor Simon Shibley, and by former All-Ireland winning ladies footballer with Mayo and analyst Cora Staunton. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. Professor Simon Shibley, though, I might start with you. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Cormac. I'm delighted to be on the show.
Do you know what? To conduct a study like this, I'd rather you than me, because I know it's so important economically and socially to Ireland, Gaelic Games, but I wouldn't know where to begin. Where did you begin?
Well, we did three things. The first of all was to look at the economic value of Gaelic Games. And to do that, we use a technique which is called a satellite account, which we have used at EU level and also for other sports like golf. And that enables us to reveal from the system of national accounts the true value of sport or a specific sport to an economy. And in this case, the best measure is that Gaelic Games contribute 710 million to the Irish economy. Mm-hmm. The second bit is the social value. And that's where we're trying to put a monetary value on things that don't really get valued in monetary terms.
Like what?
So let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. We know that people who are physically active have lower risk of certain health conditions like heart disease or diabetes. So let's say by being physically active, playing Gaelic game, there are 1,000 cases of diabetes which are prevented. And then on the other side of the equation, we say we know that on average, it costs 1,000 euro to treat each case of diabetes. So 1,000 cases prevented times 1,000 euro per case gives you 1 million euro of social value or costs avoided.
Okay. So replicated parish by parish throughout the island of Ireland and club by club. So there's a health value. You also said there's a value, or how did you put a value on social capital and volunteering and the goodness that that brings about?
Well, the volunteering, the value that we put on that is the cost of the volunteers' time. So instead of assuming they do it from the goodness of their hearts, if we said we will give them a notional value of the average hourly wage, and then multiply that by the number of volunteers and the number of hours that they contribute, that gives us a figure which came out on its own at just over 1 billion euro.
Okay, that's fascinating, I must say. About 500 million euro you placed on subjective well-being. What does that mean? So how I feel because I'm a member of on Chiarua GA Club or Kula GA Club, or I follow a GA team. Is that it?
It is, and subjective well-being is measured by people's life satisfaction. So we know that people who are physically active and who play Gaelic games have higher life satisfaction than people who are inactive. And so the calculation is how much income would we have to compensate them to take their life satisfaction back up the level it is when they are playing Gaelic games, if we took Gaelic games out of their lives.
Okay. That is fascinating, I must say. The way you and people don't do this, do they? They don't place a monetary value on these things, but this is the type of study that you're doing. Was it you who said that the GAA is not just unusual, it is unique in your experience, and you've studied sports and organisations like this worldwide?
That's right. I said that to Sean Moran of the Irish Times yesterday.
And what were you getting at? You've never seen anything like the GAA and its network and its the well-being that it creates anywhere in the world, have you?
Well, indeed. And I'm speaking to you from an executive box in Croke Park. You know, the GAA has, in 2022, when we were looking at the figures, a turnover of around about 138 million euro. And it only employs 152 staff. So what that told me was that each member of staff is generating in excess of 900,000 euro. And that doesn't make sense. The only business you'd get that kind of level of activity would be in something like high-end stockbroking. and so the money is generated by the volunteers.
Yeah, yeah.
So what goes on here is largely done by volunteers. The players, even though they are elite athletes, don't get paid. So you haven't got money leaving the business. And what that enables the GAA to do is to reinvest something like 83% of all the money that comes in back into the provinces, the counties and the clubs.
Okay, look, will you stay with me for one second? I want to bring in one of the legends of the game, of Gaelic games, in to the conversation right now, Cora Staunton of Mayo. You're very welcome, Cora.
Thanks, Cormac. Thanks for having me.
Are you anyway surprised that the that Gaelic games have a social and economic value to Ireland of about 3 billion euro?
Yeah, I'd be surprised, all right. I suppose I always knew that it would have some amount of impact, and you know, 2.87 billion, nearly 3 billion is huge. But to actually have the facts and figures and for Simon to go through, you know, the different ones there, it's very interesting. But I suppose, you know, most people that have played the game or, you know, are fans of the game, watch the game, or in the communities, and you really know the impact, you know, the social impact of the game. Maybe not the economic impact, but yeah, no, it's very interesting to listen there. You know, I suppose for me, being a former player at inter-county level and still playing with my club and being involved in, you know, one of them volunteers coaching and being on boards, you know, I think it's, you know, we talk about players there and they're elite athletes. I think I always go back to, you know, we wouldn't have a product if it wasn't without our players. And for me, when I hear figures like that, initially the first thought I have is that we need to continue to look after our players. You know, we've had the debate around female players and how still they're probably not being looked after. So yeah, for me, that's probably the biggest thing. You know, when I read the report, you look at the impact that it has on, you know, maybe an Ulster final has on the town of Clonus and the county of Monaghan, and it brings in over two million on that day or whatever. So, you know, for me, I think the biggest thing is that the players are looked after. You know, I'm still don't think they're fully looked after well enough. I think, you know, the inter-county player is the centrepiece of the association, with the figures that, you know, that Simon mentioned in the report.
Do you mean for women, Cora, or across the board?
I particularly think there's the inequalities between the both games. You know, there's an inequality there. Women are still not getting paid their mileage. You know, we're in 2024. You know, these are things we were talking about 20 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, there's an inequality between both, obviously, male and female.
Despite improvements, I'm sure if the executives were here, they'd say, I mean, look at all the improvements in the women's game in terms of football and camogie in Gaelic games in recent years, despite all of that.
Yeah, despite all of that, I think if you look at the, you know, the different reports that the GPA have done over the last number of years, particularly the student first report that was done, you know, where students, you know, are opting out of playing inter-county football because they simply can't afford it, or there's young players that are opting out of playing the game because their parents maybe are socially disadvantaged, don't have money for them to be driving them around the county or, you know, wherever it might be. So for me, that's the biggest thing. I think the money that, you know, that it's the value to Ireland and to the government, and that's brought back, you know, certainly to clubs, but also to inter-county players, because they're the centrepieces. They're the role models for young boys and girls. When I started playing football, you know, my role models were the likes of Morris's Gerald. I wanted to be him. So, you know, when Croke Park is full on a Sunday afternoon for an All-Ireland final, All-Ireland semi-final, or you know, Clonus or Thurles are full. I think it's the players there, the product, that, you know, at the end of the day, if they're not there. So I think they need to be rewarded. You know, whatever that might be, it might be tax incentives from the government, but I think they need to be better looked after, because my worry is that there's intra-county footballers, both male and female, young players, they're opting not to play the game because they can't afford to. So I think that's the biggest thing, that they're rewarded.
And just to be absolutely clear, you're not saying, you're saying recompense them for expenses and so on, but not pay them. Is that it?
Exactly. That they're well looked after. You know, that they're financially, they're not out of pocket for representing their county. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, it's not that we're going after to be a professional sport, by all means not, but it's that players, you know, can go and play inter-county football, that maybe can't have a part-time job because they're playing with their county, but they're looked after from a mileage point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still inter-county camogie players and ladies football players. They aren't getting mileage. They're getting a small, you know, compensation of a couple of hundred euro for representing the county, where it's nowhere near the cost that they're outputting themselves. Yeah.
Can I bring Simon back into this conversation? What do you make of that, Simon? It's a fine balance, isn't it? Because you have to look after the players, says Cora Staunton. But if you go too far, some people believe in the GA that if you put a price like you do on volunteerism or being part of the GA, that it's missing the point. The whole thing falls apart if you pay volunteers, for argument's sake, because then they're no longer volunteers. And that sense of community, doing something and being part of something greater than the individual, is not there anymore. I mean, it's a fine balance, that, isn't it? Did that, you get that sense in your study?
We weren't looking at that specifically, but as an outsider looking in, I've had reasonable experiences and opportunities to look at the culture and see what goes on in the sport. And one of the things that makes it unique is its staunch amateur ethos. But at the same time, as Cora says, the players are effectively the product and need to be looked after accordingly.
Mm-hmm. And this issue that has niggled within the GAA and without, of putting some matches behind a fee wall and so on, some say, look, that is not within the amateur ethos or the volunteering ethos of the GAA. Do you think stuff like that could be eroding what's great about the GAA or Gaelic Games?
Well, I think for all major sporting organisations, they have to evolve with the times. And you have an unusual situation here where the GAA in Croke Park is a very commercial operation. It is profitable and it enables money to be filtered down to the grassroots. And if you don't move with the times, then there is the danger that rival sports will evolve more quickly, become more profitable, be able to take your market share, mm-hmm. and then what you have isn't what it was. And I think as the GAA, in partnership with the LGFA and the Camogie Association, move towards integration and becoming one body in 2027, I think that could probably be one of the most positive things that happens for women's sport in recent years.
Mm-hmm. In Ireland. Let's see. I have one more quick question for you, because you mentioned that you tried to put a cost on being active within Gaelic Games and that offsetting the risk of diabetes or other diseases. But a listener says to 51551, what about the cost of the health consequences of the alcohol consumed in the aftermath of a club win? So a team wins and they all go to the pub. Is it hard to apportion that to the GAA, or is it a societal thing, Simon?
It's difficult to apportion that one, but let me reassure that listener. It's a very good question and a great point to make. But with the health, which we report at just over 31 million euro, we have taken from that the cost of treating some of the injuries that occur. So I don't know, if you go to a hospital to accident and emergency on a Saturday afternoon, the chances are you might see some GAA players. Mm-hmm. And so we're reporting prudent, conservative figures that allow for the negatives that we can quantify as well as the positives. But I have to say we haven't factored in the sore heads from one pint too many.
Okay. Well, look, it's a fascinating study, I must say. Professor Simon Shibley, who's lead researcher with Sheffield Hallam Sports Industry Research Group, who says that economically and socially, Gaelic games are worth about 3 billion euro to Irish society. It's fascinating to talk to you, I must say, Simon. And Cora Staunton, legend of Mayo, it's a privilege and a pleasure to talk with you again. You can text the programme 51551.